Iraq holds parliamentary elections on Sunday. The U.S. still has about 100,000 troops in the country. The hope in Washington is that Sunday's vote will help pave the way for their withdrawal. But there have been growing tensions between Sunni and Shia factions ahead of the vote, and the U.S. blames Iran for stoking those tensions. Some in Iraq wonder if Iran is planning to step in when the U.S. steps out. The BBC's Gabriel Gatehouse sent this report from the Iran-Iraq border.
It's the middle of the night, and a small detachment of American soldiers is on patrol in the pitch darkness. And the reason that they're here is because they strongly suspect that there are people smuggling weapons in from Iran.
They could be moving stuff to go either down to Sadr City, Bakuba, or Baghdad.
Lieutenant Luke Brown and his men are using sophisticated infrared and thermal imaging technology to try to intercept the weapons. But so far, they're having little luck.
It's really hard to tell because the frequency of anything moving through this area is erratic and hard to track.
We do know that a lot of the arms, ammunition, and explosives that we find here being used against Iraqi security forces, our forces, and against the Iraqi people surely have originated from Iran.
Colonel David Funk is the officer in charge of U.S. forces in Diyala province, an area of eastern Iraq that shares a long border with Iran. The Americans believe that at least some of those weapons are being supplied by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard.
There are those in the Iranian government who clearly do not want Iraq to become a strong nation. And it suits Iran if Iraq is kind of a puppet neighbor as opposed to the very strong nation that it has the potential of becoming. It suits their needs because it keeps a weak neighbor on their western flank.
Major General Steve Lanza is the chief spokesman for the U.S. military in Iraq.
So what we've seen in some cases is what we call malign influence. And that influence, in some cases, has come from Iran by money and by resources that are being applied, you know, within the state, money that is coming in to influence and shape the elections.
As a member of Iraq's Sunni minority, Saddam Hussein feared the power of the Shiites. During the 1980s and 90s, many Shia leaders fled Iraq and spent their exile in neighboring Iran, a theocracy governed by Shiite clerics. But the toppling of Saddam Hussein has led to a Shiite renaissance. Many of those Shia leaders have now returned from Iran to positions of power in the new Iraq. Movement and links between the two countries, once virtually impossible, are now blossoming. Najaf is at the epicenter of Shiite religious and political power. We're at the entrance to the house of Ayatollah Mohammed Yaqubi. He lives on a quiet back street, and we're just being asked to take our shoes off before going into his home. The Ayatollah says that unlike the clerics of Iran, the religious authority at Najaf likes to remain detached from politics. But in carefully worded language, he admits that there are those who'd like to harness that Shiite power for their own ends.
Certainly there are schemes to manipulate the outcome of the elections in a way that would suit the major regional players.
I think we can drive over the Sarnfirin. What do you think?
Back in Diyala province, another platoon of American soldiers is inspecting some recent flood damage to bridges and roads along the border. Captain Andrew Marsh is their commanding officer.
They had about 11 inches of rainfall, and it just completely destroyed this, and then there's a couple more up north. It did the same thing, so...
And this is what's known as exercising soft power, right?
There you go.
Repairing bridges.
That's right. Helping out. Helping out.
But inspecting flood damage is also a good way of keeping an eye on the neighbours. US troops are still here, but not for long. On either side of this border, everyone is conscious of the fact that the Americans are preparing to pull out. But as they reduce their presence, their soft power is getting softer. So the question is, what happens once they're gone? Because Iran, by virtue of geography, if nothing else, is here to stay. For the world, I'm Gabriel Gatehouse on the Iran-Iraq border.
Oh, roger that.